Hi, wrestling fans from Morristown, Tennessee's East High School. Welcome to another action-packed hour of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. I'm Bob Caudle, and this week you're going to be seeing Hector Gomez in action. Also, Hector Guerrero, that is. Dutch, I just about messed up Hector. Also, you're going to see primetime Brian Lee. Killer Kyle is going to be in action. We're going to be hearing from a number of individuals, our big main event. Let me tell you, Ivan Koloff, Jimmy Golden against the Fantastics.
Well, I'm looking forward to today's main event, but I'm looking forward, really looking forward to that piece of tape where that psychotic Brian Lee tried to kill me. He ought to be locked up under lock and key and in leg irons.
Fans, that's Dutch Mantel, and he's going to be working with me during this hour. And we're about ready with action. Let's go to the ring.
Welcome back, everyone, to our Smoky Mountain Wrestling podcast. Yes, we call it wrestling when it comes to and pertains to Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Doc, what's going on, man? We're back and up for another week, where this week we are going to be tackling episode 4 of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, which took place or aired on February the 22nd, 1992, out of East High School in Morristown, Tennessee. Man, what are you how you doing today, man? You ready to tackle this thing?
I'm in an infinitely better mood than when we talk about the WWE, because, you know, I enjoy Smoky Mountain Wrestling. I don't care if it's 20, 23 years old or not. So I'm in a fairly good mood, because we're actually going to talk about a product that I care about. So, yeah, let's hit it. We are in, as you said a minute ago, we're in the East High School gymnasium, it would appear. That's the same place that we were for episode 3. And I just want to say something, because it's going to be a big player in the upcoming shows, and I think really throughout the entire run of doing this. I don't know if I'm alone on this, so I'm going to ask you, but the building that wrestling is run in is important to me. How it looks on TV. Would you agree with that?
Oh, we talked about that in episode the intro episode. I definitely agree with that.
Okay, because, I mean, I don't know, just it, today the product is so generic, and they want everything to look the same, but I like always like the classic wrestling because of the character of the building, and it can be good or bad, so I'm okay with this venue here, and I think it's this episode, it'll provide some interesting camera angles so you can see the run-ins as they happen, but enough of this nonsense. How about we head to the ring?
We will. Hey, real quick, I just need to say one thing, and it's not a plug. It's we're recording this on the morning of September 9th, 2016. Barring some type of failure later today, we will be talking to the great Brian Lass, which at this point in this time continuum of podcasting, which can air at any time in space, we would have already spoken to the great Brian Lass on this show, because we are going to air the great Brian Lass interview, or you would have listened to it already on our episode 3 recap of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. So if you're listening to this and you're wondering why we're not talking about how great Brian Lass was, it's because we technically haven't talked to him yet, even though this episode is coming out after the episode that the great Brian Lass will be on talking about Smoky Mountain Wrestling. So hopefully it's there, and I'm just not, you know, saying this at this point. But anyway, let's get to it. Yes, we are. Let's go to the ring, man, and see what we got. So and again, thank you, Brian Lass, for the great Brian Lass, for coming on our Smoky Mountain Wrestling podcast. We really appreciate it. So let's go to the ring. We kick things off this week with a Hector Guerrero Tommy Angel match, which is only a 4 minute and 44 second match. But before we go to the ring, Doc, poor Bob Caudle in the opening of the show, before he and Dutch throw things over to the ring, Bob Caudle says Hector Gomez instead of Hector Guerrero. And I don't know, man. It's awesome, because it seems like Bob may have had a shot or two of whiskey before they started these tapings, just based on the Hector Gomez comment. No, I'm just kidding, Bob. We love you. But hey, as the match starts, Dutch says his name is Guerrero and not Gomez, and Bob says, I think I corrected that, I hope. So that's just a little bit as we jump into it. Hey, this was a fast-paced match, Doc. I mean, you know, this is from a time period when, you know, moving fast like that probably wasn't the norm yet, you know, early 90s. So, but Bob keeps up with it still, and you can see how the fast-paced semi-lucha style is not Bob Caudle's expertise. And I say semi-lucha style because, I mean, they weren't really working as luchadors. I know at one point Tommy Angel gets head scissors twice and Bob calls it twice and Dutch says, I saw it, Bob. You don't have to repeat it. I saw it, Bob. I'm not Helen Keller. I saw it, okay? Hector Guerrero wins the match with Dutch with what Dutch calls a jalapeno pepper roll. Mm. Now, I'd never heard that before, but I don't know, Doc. What were your thoughts on this very quick opening match?
Tommy Angel has a awesome balding mullet, which is
yeah he does,
but he's built pretty good. The thing I noticed early on in Smoky Mountain is the enhancement talent don't look like the guy that's working on your HVAC system necessarily. These guys look like, you know, for the most part, that they hit a gym every once in a while, and I think that helps. Good match. Guerrero is actually in his late 30s here. What do you know about Hector Guerrero?
Oh, I mean, he's from the world famous Guerrero family.
Sure,
so for
those of you at home watching along, that's Eddie's brother, older brother.
Yeah.
And Hector also has the distinction of being the gobbledygooker at one point in the WWE. So he got to play that wonderful gimmick.
I think we talked about that once on our other show, Booking the Territory airs every Thursday, but I remember that now that you say that.
So, yeah, this is a good match. It was a little bit different than some of the matches that we've seen on the previous episodes, and it kind of stands out for that regard. And, you know, I think you're onto something there where Cuddle probably hasn't had that much experience calling something like that. I mean, it's not like it's Mysterio Juventud Guerrero in 96, but still – it's a lot faster paced than I think outsiders would give Smoky Mountain credit for. So,
well, let me say this. If you are in 1991 and 92 when this is being taped at that point for Smoky Mountain and you see the moves that Hector's doing, you may have not been predisposed to seeing those types of moves at that point. Maybe you saw them, but not quite as much. So when you see Hector moving as fast as he's moving, while it's not fast by today's standards and some of the stuff the guys do, I mean, there's guys like Adrian Neville who fly around, and I mean, even Sami Zayn's, I mean, you know, they aren't luchadors, but they fly around. That style at that particular time was fast when you saw Guerrero flipping around and moving around. Again, I called it semi-lucha style because It's like you said, it's not Mysterio and Juventud Guerrero that you saw a few years later in like ECW where they're flipping all over the place. But at the same time, it still was, you know, a really, really good, really fast. It was fast paced for that time. So we go to the next match, which is Ivan Koloff and Jimmy Golden. Next segment, which is an Ivan Koloff and Jimmy Golden promo. And Ivan starts again by saying Vladimir is still taking care of business. I had a question for you, Doc, until I got further along into things, so I'm not going to ask that question. But Jimmy, and it was related to Vladimir, because my thought was, is he really gone, or, you know, or did, you know, something happen between the pilot episodes and now where Corny's like, we're not going to have this guy anymore. So, but Jimmy Golden and Ivan seem like a weird team at this point, but I guess it's to be seen how that turns out. So no Vladimir, but we have Jimmy Golden, Ivan, and again, this is going to be the main event of this actual episode. So
Golden's a big dude too. I don't think when he was Bunkhouse Buck, I ever realized how tall he was, but he's 6'5".
He is very big, and you know, Ivan not really a tall guy. I mean, Ivan's not small, but he's not really a tall man. You can really see the contrast with them standing next to each other. And then Golden, obviously, when Bob Caudle is, you know, sticks the microphone in his face, he's holding it up. Yes, Jimmy Golden is a very, very big dude. So, good point about that. The next segment, they cut to a recap of last week when Ron Wright gives the brass knucks to Dutch Mantel. Dutch plays crazy and stupid and talks about how PBL is crazy and he doesn't want to hear it. Now, it's key here, the plant of the message of PBL, Primetime Byron Lee, being crazy, because there's some commentary in the main event that I just found there's no way it makes the air in, you know, 2016, and we'll get to that later. But keep in mind that Dutch says Primetime Byron Lee is crazy and he doesn't want to hear this craziness from Primetime Brian Lee. They then re-air the Primetime Brian Lee interview where Primetime Brian Lee, I believe in the last week, calls out Ron Wright and Dutch, and Dutch says he's not afraid, but he's not stupid either. And then Dutch then introduces us to Carl Stiles, which basically for that time period was a piece of meat. I mean, he was a big, huge dude, kind of not huge, but by that time and standard, you know, buff. He then says, "Primetime, Brian Lee, if you want me, you got to go through Mr. Stiles first." And to me, this is the perfect Territory Days booking where the chicken shit heel puts a roadblock up and will not give the babyface a match without some obstacles. Your thoughts, Doc?
The one thing I love here, and I popped because you're going to see it a couple of times over the next couple of episodes while he's trying to procure some wrestlers, is when they do the cut screen and they show Ron Wright rolling away from the scene of the crime to the back, to the back. It's just hilarious. It's just like a snail speeding away from the scene of the crime. So that's good. You know,
that is awesome though. You make a good point. Because he literally rolls away from the scene of the crime. Rolls.
Right. And I think we'll probably talk about Carl Stiles a little bit more either later in this episode or probably in the next one. So yeah, I mean it is Dutch putting they're building the angle slowly for Dutch and Primetime, and so to build it slowly you got to put some hurdles there, so this is the first one.
And again, it's a prime example of the way back then you booked it, you know, week to week, and it would take things weeks to play out. And I have a couple of points I'll make as we get deeper into this about how the angles have this slow burn. Not to spoil things, but I guess I'll throw it out there. You know, Jim Cornette has been talking about this tag team that he's bringing in, right?
This is week four,
which would be 1 month in to Smoky Mountain Aaron on television, or four episodes in at this point. And we still don't know who that is. So it's a perfect example of the slow burn. So that's something to keep in mind. We go to the next segment. We get a Tim Horner, Robert Gibson, and Primetime Brian Lee interview.
God almighty.
And it's just promoting Smoky Mountain Wrestling in general. And again, no disrespect to Tim Horner, but Jesus Christ, he's the worst promo guy ever in the history of man. I'm going to play all the promos again at the end of this week's episode just so you can hear them all. Real quick note, we got three guys and three mullets, especially Horner and Primetime Brian Lee.
Okay, I had a couple of notes here.
Go ahead, have at it.
I believe it's Horner, but somebody says, you know, when they're putting over Smoky Mountain, which was, you know, that's pretty standard back in the day. Somebody said, we got people calling from all over. We got people calling. We got Japan people calling. Japan people. I think those are called Japanese.
Right. To be respectful, they're Japanese.
And the other note I had here was when Gibson is the best, when Gibson is the strongest promo you've got, you're in trouble.
Old Gibson.
I love Robert Gibson, man, because he, you know, obviously Rock and Roll Express, my number one tag team back a while back. I love him, but don't let him near a mic.
Well, no, I mean his strength was his personality in the ring.
Right.
If you ever watched Robert Gibson in the ring, that was his standard back in the day. I mean, you know, not everybody could cut a great promo, and those were the guys you didn't, you know, give a lot of mic time to. But what you did was, like Paulie always said, you accentuated the positives and you hided the opportunities or negatives.
Well, let's move on from some
weaker promos
to some real audio gold here. So you want to tell us who's next?
Oh, yeah. We got a Ron Wright promo next, and it's fucking glorious and everything it can be.
Can I make a request?
What's that?
Do you think it's possible that we could get you to read some of this in your wonderful Ron Wright impersonation?
Absolutely. So Ron Wright promo starts in,
I tell you something. It really broke my heart last week that Brian Lee took that foreign object and tried to maim poor old Dutch like he did. It's a crying shame Primetime Brian Lee is allowed to do this, but I'm still trying to find me some talent to help me get this surgery for this hip and knee implant that Medicaid and Medicare won't care for. And then to close out this promo, Doc, he starts talking about, and it's flu season, so with this flu thing coming up, maybe I'll stumble upon something before then.
I had no idea what that meant.
I don't know either.
It was like they told him to, it's like, here's what I wonder. because he's an old pro. Back in the day, you know, it was like, go out and give me a 2-minute promo on X, right? And it was like, to me, like, he got through everything he wanted to say and clock in his head. I haven't given him enough.
But that could happen.
It was really strange out of the blue, the way to end it. My note here was, at least, and I think this is a nice touch, they put a blanket over his legs. Because you got to protect the fact that his legs aren't all skinny like a real paraplegic.
I guess you're right.
That's a good touch. Yeah.
You're the doctor of the stupid.
That's true. That's true.
Your judgment on that one. So again, the promo I'll play it at the end. You got to hear it. It's just glorious. Then go to Killer Kyle against Ricky Nelson, and Killer Kyle gets a nice little cheer. I mean, more than he got in episode one. He's got the violin case again, which of course means trouble in 1980s or 90s territory wrestling, even though we know it's, you know, this is 1992. Styles is guarding Dutch. Carl Styles is not Kyle. Carl Styles is guarding Dutch at the old school announcer desk.
I love that desk.
Can you imagine moving that desk around from city to city?
There's only one of two options. It either weighed 10,000 pounds or it weighed 20 pounds.
There was no in between.
There was no in between.
Right, because it looks like a piece of hardwood. So Ron Wright is back at ringside as we go back to the ring. And Cottle says, "There's Ron Wright again. What's he doing out there?" And then Dutch and Bob get to chopping it up about Ron Wright. Dutch starts saying how he feels sorry for him. And then he continues to talk about how bad Medicare is and how it won't help him with his hip replacement. Bob Cottle doesn't give two shits about Ron Wright. He sells it like the straight guy announcer who would back then. In the end, going back to the match, Killer Kyle gets the win when Ron Wright distracts the referee, and then Kyle sends Nelson into the violin case, and Wright rolls away. The visual of Wright again, Ron Wright rolling away again. So it kind of, you know, teases you to think, well, maybe Ron Wright again. They're planting some seed. Is he now going to work with Killer Kyle? We don't know, but it's obvious that you know they're throwing him out there as a distraction. So we'll see. What were your thoughts on this?
I didn't find a lot about Ricky Nelson. He wasn't bad in the ring. Not bad for enhancement talent. I'm not a huge fan of Killer Kyle. This gimmick to me that he's got right now feels like a northern take on the Big Boss Man. Kind of same clothes, and you know it would seem to reason that it would come from Cornette because they worked together in NWA. Killer Kyle ends up with a couple of other gimmicks later on in Smoky Mountain, but you know, he's being positioned here, I think, a little bit above his pay grade. He's a mid-card guy.
I remember you telling me that about him later on in Smoky Mountain, that he comes back in a little bit different persona. So then we go back to Bob Cottle and Mr. Personality Tim Horner. They have a segment now in the middle of the ring. And I'm not going to poo-poo on this one too much because Mr. Cunningham, as he's announced, is the CEO of Hawk, presents Tim Horner with a certificate of appreciation. And Hawk, for anyone out there listening, stands for Hammering Adults Working for Kids. Honestly, not going to hammer Tim Horner. This is about as good as it gets from Horner because he doesn't say a whole lot. He just thanks the fans. Any thoughts on that? I had to include it because it does happen in the match. It has nothing to do with the actual
show. Yeah, well, since we're talking about charities for kids, I'll refrain from anything and just say it'd be best if we move on.
Please and thank you. So we then move on, and it is Hollywood Bob Holly promo. Mullet alert, Bob Holly. A little bit curly, not as straight as like a Ricky Morton or maybe a primetime Brian Lee or even a Tim Horner, but we got a mullet alert. Bob Holly uses the term hillbilly during his promo, which obvious the key word to insult the good people in the Smoky Mountain Territory is to reference them as hillbilly.
Hey, Mike, he uses the actual term. He calls them a bunch of hillbilly hicks.
Oh, that's right. He does. He says hillbilly hicks. And then Holly promises that he will be Smoky Mountain champion. He wants the good people of the hillbilly towns to know what a real movie star and Hollywood star looks like. And then he tells a story about him being in Hollywood last week where Jack Nicholson saw him and asked him why he wanted to be a wrestler. Not wrestler, wrestler. when he could actually make millions in Hollywood making movies. And Holly says, it's because I like people beating people up, and he doesn't just talk. He doesn't just talk about it. He actually beats people up. I thought, here's my thing about this. This is 1992, so you can't validate any of this shit. You can't validate if Bob Holly really is from Hollywood. You can't. Even though you may hear his voice and he sounds a little country, you still can't validate it. There's no internet.
My note is here. Bob Holly is the most unconvincing Hollywood person ever.
You say that with a 2016 lens, though. You're not looking at it through the eyes of those fans at that time who, hey, man, you were feeding it to them. They're like, well, maybe so. So anyway, anything else on the promo?
Yeah, there's something here, and it's something Holly does that a lot of people that we're getting promos from are doing. A lot of people are screwing up the name. It's Smoky Mountain Wrestling, but like here, Holly calls it Smoky Mountain Championship Wrestling. Somebody else, either earlier in this episode, later in this episode, or in the last episode, called it an Smoky Mountain Wrestling Association. This is, like we've been saying all along, them trying to get their footing, and I think, you know, in the next couple episodes, you're going to start to see that with some things that happen, that they're starting to solidify things. But yeah, some identity issues at the beginning. And I think that's, you know, just natural.
It was a new promotion. I mean, it was part of it. So they were getting it, like you said, they're getting their foot on the ground. This is episode 4 of a 4-year run. So we have to keep that part in mind. So then we go to the next segment, which was Primetime Brian Lee against Brad Anderson. And they mentioned Brad Anderson is related to the Anderson brothers.
He's Gene's son.
Was that legit? Real?
I believe so.
Okay, I didn't know. I know they mentioned that. So really, that's actually a cool little I don't know what to call it, trivia, but a little nugget there with Brad Anderson being Gene's son. PBL gets a nice PBL Primetime Brian Lee gets a nice little cheer from the fans. They're buying him, Doc. I mean, what did you?
Well, he's perfect for this territory. He's big. He's a big dude.
Blonde hair with a mullet.
Blonde hair, but he's the biggest guy there. He's got that blonde hair mullet, and he, you know, I ain't trying to get a date with him, but he was a good looking, you know, dude, young man there. He's just perfect for the role.
Yep, I agree. The match starts, and Dutch starts talking. Uh-oh. And says, "Primetime Brian Lee." Okay, everybody stop for a second, and you have to hear this. So if you're just kind of casually listening, stop for 1 second, because you have to hear what I'm about to
you
say.
You could not. Here is ding, 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 something you could not do and will not hear on Monday and Tuesday night.
Anymore. No, this is not happening. The match starts, and Dutch starts talking and says, "Primetime Brian Lee is the next serial killer. He is pretty sure he's going to hear about Primetime Brian Lee being the next person to bust into a cafeteria with an AK-47 and start mowing down people." Bob Cottle says, "Whoa, wait a minute, Dutch." But they just keep it moving.
Do you think Dutch said that just to see if Bob was paying attention?
I have no clue. But I just know one thing. You ain't saying that today. But then they revisit it later in the match where Dutch again says he's going to kill a bunch of people. He calls Primetime Brian Lee an assassin and claims that Primetime Brian Lee has tried to kill him. Again, you could not say this any way, shape, or form on Monday night or Tuesday nights right now.
Different world, Mike. Different world.
Different world altogether. He goes on to say, again, the match is going on, and we're focusing on the commentary. It's nothing special. It's not terrible. It's just nothing special. Dutch gives another zinger and says that there's a judge in Florida that just declared Primetime Brian Lee legally stupid. The match then ends in less than dramatic fashion with Primetime Brian Lee getting the win, but the action is at the end because Carl Stiles, who is Dutch's crony behind the big wooden desk, he comes out to the ring and he starts slugging it out with Primetime Brian Lee. I don't know who Stiles is, but he's some of those punches were eh. That's all I'm going to say about that. It was just they were not all that great. Cottle, the part here that got me was Bob Cottle is losing his damn mind, screaming and yelling that they need some help. The bell is ringing. What are we going to do? Dutch then hits the ring to assist Styles, but Primetime Brian Lee ends up clearing the scene of both Dutch and Carl Styles. The wonderful fans at East High School Gym go apeshit in true 1980s territorial style wrestling. I mean, this wasn't the Sportatorium in the 80s, but wouldn't you say they were kind of going a little bit nuts?
Well, yeah, because we're finally starting to get into some angles here and starting to build some personal issues. What an amazing concept. You and I talked about Carl Styles a little bit. I saw something that he debuted actually back in the mid-80s and that it wrestled around maybe Memphis. I think I saw Portland as well. So, I mean, I don't know that he was green necessarily, but, man, those punches were kind of, I don't know.
They look awkward, I guess is the best way to put it. I don't want to call him green, but boy, he did. They were awkward.
You know, at you talk about the fans going crazy. Man, something else you just don't see today. At the end, there's a one greenie up in the middle just giving it all to the heels. And man, I just wrote a note, man. I love grannies who love wrestling. I was like, that old woman was probably a hot piece of ass for a second back in the 50s.
She was giving them the blues, that's for damn sure. She was all up in it.
Wrestling was a better product when grannies would sit there and give you the business and maybe even pull a switchblade out of their purse and cut you a little bit.
Try to cut you. You damn right. You damn Skippy. We go to the main event, which was Ivan Koloff and Jimmy Golden against the Fantastics, which was actually the Fultons, Jackie and Bobby. Before we get started on the match, Jimmy Golden is attempting a new trend to me because he's the only one here besides Ivan who's bald headed that doesn't have a mullet. Anyway, mullet alert. Dutch during the match says, "I hate people with long hair," as he references that Jackie Fulton needs to cut his hair. The middle of the match.
Dutch has long hair.
That's why I said that. When he said that, his exact words were, "I hate people with long hair," talking about Jackie Fulton. He needs to cut his hair. Now Dutch does not have a crew cut, so whatever. The middle of the match, Dutch continues just no selling the match. I mean, it's funny when Dutch is awesome on commentary because he's like completely ignoring the match. And he goes in and starts no selling. He says, "Bob, you know, they got some ugly women here in Morristown, Tennessee. I mean, these women are ugly." And I can't do a Dutch Mantell voice, but he's not even worried about the ring. I mean, did you catch that when he was talking about the women?
Yeah. And I'm going to, again, plead the fifth here because you know how I like to offend the hill folks out and blue-collar people. But, yeah, there ain't a – you know, there's always this idea that Cornette got mad at the talent for not servicing the rats, but I'm starting to see the talent's view of things here.
The rat quality was lacking? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. We'll let Mullet of Morton and Gibson's eye or whatever tell us. I don't know.
So I'm just curious out there, at the Eye of Gibson, at Mullet of Morton, if you're listening to this, which we hope you are because you check us out every week, it seems. Or even like a William Shepherd on Twitter who always listens to us. Please chime in and tell us, your opinion on the rats in that area. At Hawk's Head, actually, he kind of watched Smoky Mountain when he was younger. So, Hawk's Head, what were the rats like back then, according to Dutch? Because Dutch seems to believe the rats were of low quality. I mean, he doesn't say it, but on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being great, 1 being horrible, it sounds like he's putting the rats at around a 2 or 3.
Now,
so, anyway.
Now, Dutch may be no-selling the first half of this match, but the second half and towards the end, things pick up considerably here. And set of action that's they're popping something off here now. We're starting to get some angles and we're starting to get some heat.
Right. Let me say this. Family friendly really goes out the window at this point because the four of them all hit the outside of the ring. I knew that was coming when I saw Ivan hit the post. We have our first bit of juice when Ivan Koloff gets busted open as he goes into the post. I mean, he literally it looked like he went under the ring to hit the juice, but whatever. Bob Cottle immediately brings notice to this, and he says that was a bell ringer when he went into the post. But the match continues. They're now back into the ring. It goes on for a little while longer. When we got our first swerve of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And, you know, I had no idea this was coming. But Jackie Fulton has Jimmy Golden in a sleeper when Vladimir comes out of nowhere and gives an old school cowboy boot, swings an old school cowboy boot to the back of Jackie Fulton's head or neck that the referee does not see. And Bob Caudle says, Vladimir is supposed to be in Moscow. What the heck is he doing here? Now, key here is that the Koloffs, or Koloff and Jimmy Golden, get the pin because the ref didn't see it, and the ref then does count one.
Man,
to
three. I had a note on that. Was this no DQ? Because the ref was looking straight at it, in my opinion. So, I don't know.
It definitely was no DQ. He wasn't supposed to see it. I can tell you that much, because he did count one, two, three. But the point is, in a second, Family Friendly is about to go out.
Well, and I like the fact that with the camera angle and in the locker rooms, you could see Vladimir coming.
Oh, yeah, because the hard camera was looking at the towards that area, set at the ring. So you see Vladimir coming on TV, but you know, Jackie Fulton has no clue he's coming because his back's completely turned. And, I mean, he clocks him. It was old school. They got me. I thought Vladimir was gone. I'll be honest with you. I really thought that Vladimir, I was like, oh, and here's why. I thought they shot these pilot episodes, those first two, and Cornette, you know, just brought the guy in, and then it was like, nah, it's not going to work out. We don't want this guy. And they brought in Jimmy Golden. I thought Vladimir was legitimately gone.
Well,
don't
get too attached to him. I'll just say that.
Okay. No, I'm not. I'm just saying. But
in
so
fact,
anyway,
it's probably a good idea for you not to get real attached to a whole lot of people you're seeing right now.
Right. But Vladimir, again, he helps out. They get the win, the Koloff and Golden.
So it seems like it's over.
It's right, because they cut away, and then we get a few repeat promos. And the key is they cut away. It's like, okay, this is squash, you know. I mean, they were still at the ring, but it wasn't hitting the fan at that point. The shit wasn't hitting the fan. So we get a few repeat promos of Ron Wright and Bob Holly and Cornette. Again, these are repeat promos from previous episodes, so I'm not gonna reiterate what happened, but it seemed to be filling a little bit of time for the segment. But then we go back to the old school wooden desk where Koloff and Golden are about to be interviewed by Bob Caudle after the match, where Bobby Fulton viciously attacks the Koloffs. They then, from the wooden desk, fight back to the ring, because remember, the desk is not far from the ring. I mean, it's away from the ring, but it's not far.
We're in a high school gym. How far can anything be from anything?
Right. It's probably 30 feet, 40 feet away tops. Jackie and Bobby are whipping ass. Tim Horner hits the ring to assist. The shit hits the fan. These motherfuckers are fighting all over the building in an ECW style melee, without flipping and flopping, but they're going all over the ring. Nobody's on fire. There's no table on fire. There's no thumbtacks, but they're fighting all over. Six men in the crowd slugging it out. One of the last shots that they show before going off the air is Bobby Fulton, who clocks Ivan Koloff with this metal chair that had no give.
Clang!
I mean, it sounded like a gong. It was like, boom, off of Koloff's head. I promise you, you will not see this nowadays the way he got hit. Dutch says, I'm writing Bob Armstrong a letter. That's got to be a fine. and that was pretty much it. But overall, I was entertained by the episode.
You know, here's the thing about this brawl. A couple of things. I had an awesome brawl at the end. Caudle's putting it over. Probably the best segment in all of Smoky Mountain that I get from Tim Horner, because he actually was participating at a high level. So good for him. So nobody can say that I'm always on his ass. He held his own here. The thing that made it for me is that they're rolling the credits while this brawl is still going on behind it. So I thought that was pretty awesome as well. And yeah, I think this is, you know, certainly not the end of this. The thing I was thinking as I was watching it, and not being a huge purveyor of Memphis, was Corny got this out straight out of Memphis.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't a big Memphis. I mean, I wasn't exposed. I don't want to say I wasn't a Memphis fan. I just wasn't exposed to it. You know, neither were you. But yeah, it was good. You're right about the credits. That was a nice touch. I mean, to me, that was Mid South used to do that all the time. I believe World Class would do it, which is what we grew up on. So it was a cool little touch. But overall, I don't know. I like the episode. You know, there's more to come with the Koloffs and the Fultons.
Yeah.
How many disability checks are we giving out on this one?
I gave this episode 6 checks, which I believe is the highest yet so far. The thing that for me pushed it over the top was the brawl at the end. I thought that was pretty top notch and pretty old school, indicative of old school wrestling. And so, yeah, I gave it 6 disability checks. Once again, there are some things that will happen in the next couple of episodes that get announced that start to solidify some angles. And we start to get some more regular talent going. So, good episode. My favorite of the 4 that we've looked at so far.
Yeah, and keep in mind, you know, we've got and you're someone who's watched all of the Smoky Mountain episodes at this point. So your rating is probably skewed by the better that is coming in later years and later episodes. For me, I gave it a 7 on this one. I was entertained. Once again, I'll repeat. It was 50 minutes long. Didn't take up a whole night of my time. So I enjoyed it. I gave it 7.
If you gave this one a 7, you're going to give some in 1994 28.
Oh, I'm fine with that. I mean, that's
out of 10.
Yeah, good. I mean, that's how it should be. So anyway. Yeah, good episode. Like I said, at the end, in a second, we're going to get to the I will plug the promos at the end. So hopefully you're enjoying listening to the promos, because I think that's a good part of the show. I'd like to actually, part of me wants to play the promos during while we're talking about it. But at the same time, I'm like, you know what? The best part about the promos is kind of listening to them after the fact, after we've spoken to them. So, and then I don't want to break up our flow with it. So the promos are going to be at the end each week, as long as I can get them uploaded onto the show. And again, what a great episode. This was, again, episode number 4 of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling podcast, which aired on February 22nd, 1992. If you have not heard, we've been on Pro Wrestling Tees for a while now. So you can get your very own Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast t-shirt if you'd like to support the show. It's a great way to do it. And if you would go, the way to get to it is go to facebook.com/Booking the Territory. Click the Shop Now button from there, and you will get to our Pro Wrestling Tee store. The main reason I'm pointing that out is because we now have our very own Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast t-shirt up on Pro Wrestling Tee. So it's a pretty cool shirt, pretty cool design. Sold a bunch already, but we'd love to sell a few more, and we'd appreciate if you'd check that out and do that for us. Also, rate us on iTunes. 5 stars. We could use more 5-star reviews. Stitcher as well. You can subscribe to the show. We'd greatly appreciate it. We appreciate all of your support as is. And then follow us on Twitter at @BTT_podcast. Other than that, Doc, man, I really had a lot of fun with this episode. We keep them short and sweet, which makes the Smoky Mountain recaps so much better. Again, we're only reviewing 50 minutes of time without commercials, unlike a 3-hour Raw episode. So you got anything for the people before we throw it over to our promos from Smoky Mountain this week?
The quicker we get done with this one, the quicker we can watch some more Smoky Mountain wrestling.
That's right. So for Mike and Doc, you know, we always say, check out the promos after this, but book it.
All right, fans, with me right now here at ringside, Ivan Koloff, his new partner, Jimmy Golan. Ivan, the big main event during this hour right here on Smoky Mountain Wrestling. You two have got the Fantastics.
That is right. Vladimir, I just talked to him on telephone yesterday. He is taking care of official business. He will be back very shortly. But the great news is that the contracts are signed against the Fantastic, the foolish Fantastics are stupid enough to sign a contract against Jimmy Golden and myself. It is history for the Fantastics.
I want to know how they got a name like the Fantastics. I haven't seen nothing fantastic about either one of them. And they're coming out here claiming that they have a great victory over my man Ivan and Vladimir. I'm going to tell you something. Not on your finest day, gentlemen, will you ever beat me, Ivan, or either one of us. We're going to be the champions here in the Smoky Mountain. And you people out there better show a little respect for the Soviet Union and the rest of us out there. All of you's gone soft. You bring them fantastic punks out there in the ring, and we're going to find out what you're made of, boys. Fans, that's going to be our main event. It'll be coming up later in this hour. Right now, let's take time out for this. Fans, right here with us now, the young man that was just robbed in the ring, primetime Brian Lee. Brian, no doubt, Ron Wright, we said he wasn't going to just sit there ringside, and he gave Mantell that object.
You're exactly right, Bob. Ron Wright, Dutch Mantell, I don't know who you boys think you are, but you're messing with primetime now. Since you're such good buddies, Dutch Mantell, I think I might put you in a wheelchair right beside Ron. Bob, I don't care what it takes. I've been ripped off. The people've been ripped off. I want a rematch. I don't care. I want it now. I don't care where it's at. Locker room, parking lot, in the ring. Dutch Mantell, you're mine.
And I know, and all the fans do too, that you do really deserve that. And you'll have an eye, no doubt, on Ron Wright this time.
You're exactly right. Ron Wright, like I say, Dutch Mantell, both of you are going down. You may be good, but you're not ready for prime time.
Ron Wright. Emphatic about wanting that rematch with you anywhere, anyway, anytime.
Let me say one thing right now. If Brian Lee thinks I'm afraid of him, then he's backing up. Now, you know, a lot of people got a lot of fears. If you're afraid of water, you got hydrophobia. And if you're afraid of closed-in places, you got claustrophobia. I myself, I have a fear of getting hurt. That's called good sense. Now, I was going through Murphy, North Carolina the other day. Come in here. I'd like to introduce a man to you right here. I was going through Murphy, North Carolina right here. Put the camera on this man right here. And I met this man, Mr. Carl Stiles. And he looked at me and he said, "Aren't you Dutch Mantell?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And he said, "I'm a big fan of yours and have been for some time." And he says, "You know, I'm big and I'm strong and I got the size and the strength. What can I do to be in professional wrestling?" I says, "Well, now, you just might be the man I've been looking for." And I told him, actually, he got down on his hands and knees and begged me, didn't you? Didn't you, Mr. Style?
He begged me,
and I said, "Look, Carl, you do a few things for me, and I do a few things for you." So right now, he's going to be by my side. And Brian Lee, let me send this right to you, big boy. If you want me, what you got to do first? You got to go through Mr. Style, so put that in your pipe and smoke it.
And that's Dutch Mantell's answer, fans, to primetime Brian Lee. We'll be back. Fans, thanks so much for watching Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And Smoky Mountain Wrestling will be coming to you week after week. We hope you will continue to watch. And very soon, Smoky Mountain Wrestling will be coming live to your town with such great stars as these, primetime Brian Lee. Here's Robert Gibson behind me, Tim Horner. Tim, I know all you guys are excited.
Well, I tell you what, you know, the word's out. Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Everybody's wanting to know what's going on. What's going on in the Smoky Mountain Wrestling area? Well, I'll tell you what. This is what's going on. Look here. Just look around you, everybody here. And I tell you what, everybody's calling, wanting a piece of the action, coming in from everywhere. You know, Japan people are calling. Everybody's calling, wanting Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And we're going to come everywhere Smoky Mountain Wrestling goes.
Hey, Robert, hey, I know you love it around this area. I know you're glad to be back.
You know, Bob, it's a pleasure to be back here in Smoky Mountain. It's a pleasure to be here with all my good friends like Tim and Brian. And I'll say one thing, all the opponents out there, better come strong and heavy, baby, because me and one thing, me and brother, we do is take care of business.
All right, primetime Brian Lee. Brian?
You know, primetime Brian Lee, just like Tim and Robert, thrive on competition. And Smoky Mountain Wrestling, that's what it is, competition at its finest. We'll be here, we're going to stay here, and opponents, when you come across us, that's it, fellas. One, two, three.
Hey, and I know all you guys love to wrestle on television, but there's nothing like being right there in the town and being close to the fans. Right, Robert?
That's right, Bob. When the fans get behind you and start chatting your name, start hollering for you, it makes you go at 110%.
Sure does that. And fans?
I'm sure has other ideas. But earlier today, he had some comments about that. So let's hear what Mr. Wright had to say.
I'll tell you something. You know, it really broke my heart on here at these matches last week, the way that Brian Lee took that foreign object, a pair of brass or steel nucks out there and tried to maim poor old Dutch Mantell the way he did. You know, you can all see Ron Wright, one of the greatest wrestlers in the world, sitting here in this wheelchair, crippled now, broke down from the likes of Brian Lee, beating on me in the hips, knees, and the head with these steel knuckles and got me maimed in the chair now. But I tell you, it's a crying shame. I'm still out there looking, trying to see who I'm going to pick up to try to come up with enough money and raise money for this serious hip implant, knee implant surgery that I'm going to have. Because, folks, Medicare and Medicaid, they won't pay hardly anything on it. But I'm still looking. I've not found a man yet. But if something will turn up, and you know something, it's really bad. The flu seasons are coming up on me here, and maybe something will turn up before the winter's gone.
Fans, with me here in the ring now is Morristown's own Tim Horner, White Lightning himself, and Mr. Don Cunningham. Mr. Don Cunningham, who is vice president of Hawk. And Mr. Cunningham has a special award and presentation to present to Tim Horner at this time. Mr. Cunningham.
Tim, on behalf of the board of directors of Hawk and all the people that works with the juvenile court, we would like to present you with this certificate of our appreciation for the tremendous job that you've done in years past working with all the juveniles in Hammond County. We really appreciate you, and we appreciate the Smoky Mountain Wrestling Association for bringing wrestling to Morristown.
All right, Tim.
Well, Don, I appreciate you, and I appreciate the Hawk Board and for what it stands for. It was an opportunity for me to give back something to a community that's given me so much, and hopefully I can continue to make a difference, because there is a lot of different roads and a lot of decisions for kids to make out here, and hopefully I can maybe stir them in the right direction. So keep going, Hawk. Thanks.
All right, Mr. Cunningham, before you get away, just so all of the fans all over the country know, tell me what Hawk does stand for and all the fans here.
Hawk stands for Hamlin Adults Working for Kids. Thank you.
All right, and thank you. Tim, congratulations to you. Not only are these people proud of you, your hometown people, but all of us connected with Smoky Mountain Wrestling are proud of you also.
Thank you.
Fans, we'll be back right now. Let's take time out for this.
Well, you know, Dutch, everybody in wrestling is talking about Hollywood Bob Holly. He's the hottest rookie in wrestling right now. The only thing I think that is bigger than his talent is his mouth, and I'm serious about that. Now, just listen to this, fans. You'll see what I mean.
You know, I was sitting in a steakhouse just a few hours ago, and a few people came up to me and said, Hollywood Bob Holly, what are you doing in a hillbilly town like this? Well, you see, I just want to give all you people a chance to see what a real movie star looks like and what a real star can do. You know, just the other day, I was driving down Sunset Boulevard on my way to Spago's, and who did I see? Lo and behold, Jack Nicholson. He waved me over, I pulled over. Jack said, hey, Hollywood. Hey, he calls me Hollywood. He knows who I am, and all you people will know who I am. But he asked me, he said, Bob, what are you doing in a business like that when you could be making movies, commercials, anything you want? You could do anything you want. I said, Jack, I said, it's not the fact that I can do anything I want, which I know I can do anything I please. I said, I like to beat people up for a living, and I want to show these hillbilly hicks what a real star looks like and what a real star can do. Now, I know you people aren't used to seeing somebody as good-looking as myself in front of your TV camera. Well, you people are just going to have to get used to it, because Hollywood Bob Holly is going to be the champion here at Smoky Mountain Championship Wrestling. So you people get used to it, and I don't talk just to hear myself.
Fans, we hope you'll continue to watch Smoky Mountain Wrestling each week right here on this station. And by the way, Smoky Mountain Wrestling will be coming live to your town very soon. Smoky Mountain Wrestling, wrestling the way it used to be and wrestling the way you like it. The many, many outstanding stars of Smoky Mountain Wrestling will be appearing live in your own hometown and in your arena. Speaking of the stars we have with us now, one of the former wrestling greats, now outstanding and great wrestling manager, Mr. Ron Wright. Ron?
I appreciate it. It is a pleasure to be here on this Smoky Mountain Wrestling. We've got some of the finest wrestlers in the entire world right here in Smoky Mountain. Everybody in this area knows I was the greatest wrestler in the world. I'm the living legend. I'm out here. I've still not found the team that I want yet so I can manage somebody and have this hip implant surgery. But you know, I'm kind of down with arthritis in the back and the knee and still take nitroglycerin, but I'm going to get there, Bob. Thank you.
All right, fans, he's just one of the many. Speaking of the many, let's bring in right here Hollywood Bob Holly. Bob?
Hold on a second, Bob Collier. You know, I don't have too much time, you see, because I have a limousine waiting out back for me because I have a dinner date with Julia Roberts tonight. So I have to fly to Los Angeles in just a few minutes.
Hey, Bob, I just want to tell you, the limo driver, shut up, Bob Cuddle. The limo driver's out there waiting right now, but I want to say one thing for all the people thinking about coming back to see live professional wrestling. When you see a guy like Hollywood Bob Holly, brother, he's got a right hand that will knock your head off. He's got a right hand that'll knock your teeth so far down your throat they'll have to clear customs to come back. When you see a guy like this in action, when you see a guy like me, the tag team that I'm bringing to Smoky Mountain Wrestling, or anybody else, coming live to your town, you ain't never seen anything like it. You may have been to the World's Fair, may have been to the rodeo, but you have never seen anything like Smoky Mountain Wrestling.